our sports in Luxembourg.
101 WIXX, Green Bay's Packers Radio Network radio station.
It's time for Talkin' Football.
Breaking down the Packers game with Murphy, Katie, and Nick.
And the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
Smith on the wing right side. The safety for the Vikings, snap to Rodgers. Smith drops back in coverage. Rodgers, rainbows, right side, over the shoulder, catches made. It is Devontae Adams. He beat Holton Hill. What a throw from Rodgers inside the 25 of Minnesota at the 24-yard line. Oh, that was sensational on both ends.
Wayne, the offense was humming yesterday.
Yeah, it was. Against what supposedly would be a good Vikings defense, but... They took advantage of it, you know, and I thought that they had the same command on the offensive line despite the injuries that they had at the first, the last meeting last year in Minneapolis. It looked very familiar. And so, you know, yeah, I think in Rodgers carried over a training camp performance where he was really good at camp and carried it right over into the regular season. And I think he's looked terrific in both in camp and yesterday he was outstanding.
I think the immediate reaction, Wayne, right away is, well, who needs a preseason then? I found myself thinking that during the course of the game. There were no procedural penalties. The timing seemed okay from the offense. But then I also thought, well, it's interesting because they're so hyper-focused now in the absence of fans. You don't have that distraction. And maybe it's less about the preseason and it is about that element that is so disruptive during the course of a game.
Yeah, Nick, I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. I mean, they didn't have to overcome the atmosphere, let me put it that way. But, you know, I really don't know what to make of that around the league either and how that came into play and what impact it might have had. I think once they snap the football, these guys are pretty focused in, and although they might feed off of the crowd reaction to plays, I don't know if it really enters into the picture early on pre-snap, but... There's no question about it. The Packers were sharp offensively yesterday.
Do you feel like we did, or at least how I did? I felt like I was going in blind, though, watching. Like, I was like, I don't think I even know what I'm talking about at this point. Like,
I feel that way a lot.
Right.
Like, I was like, there's nobody to tell me what I should think.
I mean, it was like, I said in the open of the show, I said, you know, this is kind of like that line from the movie Forrest Gump. I mean, this NFL season is like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you got until you open it. And that was what yesterday was about.
You know, and I do have to say, I was listening to you guys in the car for the beginning of the game, and it was very comforting because listening to you guys on the radio, not watching it on TV, everything seemed normal. You guys did an excellent job of taking care of that and making it seem like this was completely a normal season and that there was nothing different. So there's a lot of comfort hearing you guys in the radio.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Katie. That's nice of you to say.
There was so much dominance in so many categories, Wayne. Even early on, time of possession, especially first quarter, just utter dominance, and it carried over throughout the game. But it took a while for this thing to shape up into what the final score indicated.
Yeah, I agree, Nick. I mean, the Packers really dominated. It wasn't nearly as close as the final score would indicate. And the time of possession, you're right. I saw that in the first half. I think the Packers had it like 18 to something. They had almost a 3-1 time of possession advantage at halftime, it seemed like. And then for the game, I mean, 41-16 to 18-44 is huge. That's a huge disparity. And you look at the number of plays run, and again, a lot of the Vikings plays came in garbage time, but 76-49. That is a huge disparity in plays for an NFL football game. So you're exactly right, but... You know, here they were in the second half, kind of, you felt like they were pounding the Vikings, and the Vikings kept scoring touchdowns and converting two-point conversions in the second half, and in the fourth quarter particularly, and that became a bit distressing.
Defensively, though, Wayne, what was your impressions? Were you pleased with what you saw, despite, you know, the little garbage time at the end stuff?
Yeah, you know, I mean, for the most part, I thought they did a nice job defensively. Jair Alexander, I thought it was a good call by Mike Pettine. After the game, we find out Jair did that sack, that pass rush for the safety on that sack of Kirk Cousins on his own. He just recognized something and decided to go for it. But I thought they did pretty well for the most part. But in the fourth quarter, it did kind of worry me a little bit about what I saw because it looked so much like some of the moments we saw last year, and And, you know, hey, I understand that they have good players, too, and sometimes your cornerbacks are going to get beat. But I thought there were times when and Larry felt the same way, when it was a little too easy.
And I guess that's where that goes into my question, because I'm a fan who errs on the side of caution. I don't like to get my hopes up. I like to have my expectations managed. And because of the lack of preseason, did we beat a good team, or are we just excited that we won?
That's a great question. You know, what kind of team did we beat in Minnesota?
Yes, like, no clue.
I mean, I look at their roster and I look at their team and I think, you know, they've got a chance to be pretty good. But here is my thought in watching the tape from last year, which I thought was significant, just to see that game again in Minneapolis last year. I watched it about two or three times this week. And I felt going into this game, and I wasn't sure because you didn't see anything in preseason, but I thought the Packers had a good chance to control the line of scrimmage. And I feel this way about Minnesota. They've got so many new young players, not just young but new players, that it was better to get them now than later this season, when they might be able to put things together and get it going.
How about controlling the line, Wayne, in terms of injuries now? Both sides of the ball on that line, Kenny Clark and Lucas Patrick and Lane Taylor, and there are enough injuries now, especially the groin of Kenny Clark. That always makes me go, ooh, groin injuries and hamstring injuries. I hate those early on. But do you know anything in any other than what anybody else knows this morning about those injuries?
No, we really don't. Taylor's injury and watching it, boy, that to me, I just hope it's not season ending. I mean, that's what really worries you about that. And that kid has come back and played so well. He had such a great camp. He really did. He won the right guard position. The only way Billy Turner was going to play is at right tackle. And that's what they were trying to do, kick him out to right tackle and give him that job there. And they felt with Lane on the right side of Billy Turner, those were the two best players they had on the right side of the line. I sure hope Lane Taylor's going to be all right. Lucas Patrick's shoulder, you know, that's problematic on occasion. Kenny Clark, you're going to have to be careful with. You don't want this injury lingering into October.
Yeah, I hate groin injuries like that.
719 WIXX, we're talking football with
Not
Wayne.
Not that any injury is great, but.
Quick timeout, more Wayne coming up on IXX.
It's talking.
Back to talking football with Wayne Larrabee.
On the Murphy in the Morning Show.
On WIXX.
Slot right, three receivers right, one to the left from the shotgun. Second and 10, snap a route going deep down the right sideline. MBS has it to the end zone for the touchdown. Oh, what a play. He took it away from Cameron Danzler. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 45-yard touchdown reception.
You know, MVS Wayne is a guy that's going to give people gray hair, right? Because he can make some phenomenal catches, and then all of a sudden, dude, what's going on?
Okay, can I say this too, though? I did notice, I was very proud of Aaron in this. Usually when someone drops a pass, Aaron does not target them the rest of the game, and he did.
Like, they went right back to him after the
drive. I was like, oh, we made progress.
Wayne, they say he's a guy in particular who had a phenomenal training camp, right?
Yeah, he really did. He had a great camp, and I think that's part of the reason why A-Rod went back to him. But, you know, MVS had two drops, and so Rodgers, when you look at his numbers, could have been five touchdowns and over 400 yards passing. But nonetheless, he did keep going back to Valdez-Scantling. Hopefully that's reassuring to him. And, you know, that's a big play element, see. Again, hey, the Bears, back in the day, the Bears had a guy by the name of Willie Gault. He was the author of the Super Bowl Shuffle. But he had like 4.2 speed. He was a track guy out of Tennessee. And Jim McMahon used to tell me, I can throw the ball, put it right on Willie's fingertips 50 yards downfield, and there's only nobody in the vicinity, and there's only a 50-50 chance he's going to catch it. But the defense, on every snap that guy was on the field, had to honor him. You know, they had to send somebody with him or try to keep somebody with him. You know, I think MVS has better hands than Willie Gault, but, you know, he made a couple of good catches. It was a good start for him despite two drops. It could have really made it a spectacular day.
Yeah, that had all the makings of, we were kind of talking a little bit off the air here, of the classic this is what happens type deal. At that point in the game, to not get that third down conversion as you were going down and it was still tight enough that you had to pucker a little. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
The easy ones, this is how it happens. And they just were very, I thought as a team, really composed. the entire ball game. There weren't wild mood swings and momentum swings that made you feel really sick to your stomach at any point. It just kind of controlled, even tempo, well balanced, and then you get out of Minnesota with a win.
You know, and the other thing, Nick, I think part of that is the play calling and the playbook that's open to them now. You can tell they're running more stuff now than they were last year. Tyler Urban's emergence in motion, that type of thing. Whether they give it to him on the jet sweep or not, that motion disrupts the defense. And so there were a lot of good things offensively in that ball game, I thought, for the Green Bay Packers. And, that certainly bodes well. And Aaron Rodgers looked very sharp. It's what's interesting about Aaron, he ran the dink and dunk stuff, you know, that's so much a part of this offense, the Shanahan offense. But, boy, when there were shots downfield, he didn't shy away. He took them. And I thought all the little stuff and all the motion stuff and all this, you know, Kyle Shanahan offensive stuff that they try to do, I thought that set up some of those big plays really well. So this offense, I'm sure Matt LaFleur's got to be really happy with what his offense did yesterday.
Well, and you got to see some of what they're doing. I know in the offseason everybody's kind of freaking out about the wide receiver thing. They had a lot of tight ends on the field at one time for a lot of those plays, didn't they?
Yeah, and Nwaga, the rookie, I thought, you know, got his feet wet a little bit, made a catch. And I thought he did a nice job. You saw him at fullback. You saw him at tight end. You saw him go in motion, that type of thing. He's a nice chess piece to have. And you know what, guys? People were down on the receiving core outside of Devontae. And I, you know, kept watching tape from last year. Alan Lazard's a fine number two receiver. I mean, you know, he's not going to blow the top off the defense, but then he doesn't have to. And if MBS is going to be if he can have a consistent season, what I saw of him in training camp, he's going to be plenty good enough as the third receiver. So I don't think the Packers are as desolate at wide receiver as people outside of Green Bay seem to think. I think they've got decent receivers, and no doubt in my mind about that. And obviously, Devontae's a star.
Well, we were wondering, my husband and I were kind of doing a deep dive. We were wondering about, I know he was injured this last week, but where is Equanimeous on the depth chart? Like, is he going to be a factor?
It's hard
to tell
based on camp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Katie, I mean, that's another good question. Very hard to tell. I think he's probably the fourth guy in there, maybe, you know, fifth receiver. But I don't honestly know because I haven't seen anything but training camp yet. So, but yesterday he was inactive.
Don't you want him to get more time just so you can say his name? I just like to say his name.
Well, in a quick play, we're going to call him EQ.
All right, Wayne. Well, listen, great job. Good to hear you back on the radio, and a fun way to start the season yesterday, no doubt. So,
hey, good to be back with you guys on Monday. That means everything's normal again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
Right? All right, partner. We'll talk to you next week after the Lions game. All right.
Look forward to it. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
727 at WIXX. That'll do it for Talking Football. Brought to you by our friends at Seminar Sports, the Pancake Place, Valley Eye Associates. Thank you all for being part of the show today.
You've been listening to Talking Football.